Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and the Hagman Report, I'm Doug Hagman with fellow investigator, researcher, my son Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Don't forget, next week, folks, look, go to Paul Begley's website, Pastor Begley's website. We're going to be on, we're going to be taping, it's going to be a riot. We're going to be in studio with a studio audience taping in Indianapolis a couple of segments, Joe and I. Him and I, that kid over there, Eric. Mm-hmm. He said, "No, you guys go. We're not. I'm not going." So we're on our own, and we're gonna be taping. It's gonna be a riot. If you're in Indianapolis, in and around that area, folks, please come and say hello to us. All right, you got to do this. Come on now. The registration or the tickets for the in studio audience thing on television. They're going quick. So there's a taping. What, at 9? And 11, right? And a meet and greet between and after and before and during. And
yeah,
we're going to be like Geraldo throwing chairs and stuff like that. Paul Begley. Okay. Remember that? All right.
Go to PaulBegleyProphecy.com. Yeah. On the left hand side of the page, there is a, an ad.
Yeah.
That, you get all the information about the location. It is.
Are you sure? Just,
yeah.
Okay.
And that has the address, it has the link to register to be part of the live in-studio audience. And we will be not only doing two tapings, but as you said, we will be doing a meet and greet.
And you know what? You can even get a copy of my book there. If you'd like. If you like, I'll have some copies. I'll sign them for you. We'll take pictures together. It'll be fun. Come on now.
Okay? 8 days remaining.
We're not going to stop talking about this until all the tickets are sold out. And there's a run on the tickets. Now I'm being serious. The tickets are going to be, hard to come by if you guys don't get them like really quick. So, in fact, if you just go, you know, JD, thank you so much, brother. Go to HagmanandHagman.com on the right hand side. Okay. Thank you, JD. I must have been out to lunch. I look at the website and synapses, not quite right. Anyway, Pastor Begley, HagmanandHagman.com on the right hand side on HagmanandHagman.com. Thursday, July 28th, live studio audience. Big, you can't miss it. I did, but you shouldn't.
If you click on the link there, it says he'll be taping 4 shows. The first 2 episodes will be with us.
That's right.
He says in here, you can be part of the energy that the live audience brings. And he says, make sure you arrive early. The doors will shut for the live broadcast and remain shut until it is over.
And I heard we're going to be duct taped to the chairs.
It is at 10511 Greenfield Avenue in Noblesville, Indiana.
So if you're close, look, take the day off work. All right.
And you have to register.
Bring your mom. And you have to register. And I seriously, I do have an email saying tickets are going quickly, so registration is filling up. So please, you've got 9 and 11. That's our segments. And and Pastor Paul Begley, I mean, you can't beat it with a stick. So again, take off work, take your mom, take your mother-in-law, bring your mother-in-law, whatever you need to do, but get to the television studios in,
Noblesville.
Indianapolis, Noblesville. Let's say Indianapolis. Even if you're within a couple of hours. And look, if you need us to pick you up, we'll do that. All right. We will. I'm not sure. How many can we fit? At least 3-4 on the way out, you know, because we're driving, but, no, seriously, come and join us in Indianapolis, Indiana. And while we're driving, one thing that I love WholeTonesLive.com. I love listening to the melodious tunes of WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, go to WholeTonesLive.com and there download free samples of their music. Michael Terrell, the founder of WholeTonesLive.com. What a great guy. He actually created music, these music pieces that are set at different frequencies. Some can energize you. Some will give you a sedate feeling, you know, calm, relax your nerves and racing mind. Others provide mental acuity and better focus and what have you. We have them playing at the studio. You can buy the CDs as well, which I highly recommend. And depending on what your needs might be, you can use them at the office, use them at your home. Our dogs, Lady, your studio dog, responds very well to the melodies of Whole Tones Live. You talk about when she's hyper, you can slip in the I'm sorry, the name of the one that sedates you escapes me, but she actually sleeps really, really well. It helps my wife sleep at night. When we play in the background, it helps me focus, although you may not be able to tell on air because we don't play them on air. But WholeTonesLive.com, based on the frequencies of the Bible, the music of King David, beautiful, beautiful, just a wonderful, an array of wonderful musical compositions. Michael Terrell is on our program, explained how it works. Folks, get them while you can. WholeTonesLive.com. Michael Terrell. What a great musician, what a great composer, and what a great product. Download the free samples, and then from there, go ahead and order the CDs. That's WholeTonesLive.com, W-H-O-L-E, Tones, as in whole, the whole enchilada thing, WholeTonesLive.com, and you really, you won't be sorry. You won't be sorry you did. WholeTonesLive.com. All right. Again, Pastor Paul Begley's show next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. Joe and I are going to be there. Want to see you there too. Taping the television segment, be a part of the television audience. It's going to go out to, I don't know, I think at least 100 people.
100 to 150 people.
The studio, I believe, holds between 100 and 150, but the reach of this is a million plus.
Yeah, just in the local market there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be aired in different cities. One is Orlando. I believe San Francisco is another before it goes out over DirecTV, Dish Network, and cable broadcasting networks. And you can get all that information on Pastor Paul Begley's site.
But go to HagmanHagman.com and go click on the link. Right.
And we're going to have the pastor on at least for 1 hour before we go there, not only to bring you information about the taping of the TV show next week, but also some of the things he sees happening with the current state of geopolitics and Bible prophecy, not only in our country, but around the world. And yesterday I was on his show for an hour, which was a lot of fun as always. And we talked about a lot of things happening in the country and around the world.
Indeed. You were good. And Paul Begley is always a crowd pleaser as well. And this will be the first time we've actually met him in person.
Mm-hmm.
a couple of things. I do want to make sure that, and yesterday it was with a heavy heart, of course, talking about the police shootings in Baton Rouge and the target that has been placed on all of the police officers' backs. And I really request that everyone just does something nice and thanks a police officer for what they do. Now, I know, again, as I mentioned yesterday, and we mentioned, there are people out there who, there are bad people in every profession. There are people that shouldn't be in their various professions, but by and large, you've got people who run into danger when others are running away from it. And they're the real heroes of our nation. And we must not conflate the federal policies at the justice level with those people who are working at the mothers and fathers, the brothers and sisters and the sons and daughters, whatever, who are the municipal police officers, who are the community police officers, who are attempting to do their job.
Yeah, there's been a number of different things that have come out about police today. There is a hate cops billboard that has been put up in Indiana. Also, this is terrible. Police investigating a restaurant that served glass in a police officer's sandwich.
Yeah.
There was also recently, I believe yesterday or the day before, at Taco Bell, somewhere in the country, two police officers went in to get food and were denied, they were not served, and they were told to leave. As you continue to see the anti-police sentiment across the country, and as you said, there are good and bad officers.
Sure.
Just as there are good and bad people of all race, colors, and creeds in this country and in this world.
But one thing we have to be careful of is taking situations, and I've seen this happen. I've seen other people do it. They'll take a portion of, we'll say, our show, and they'll take it out of context and say, see how bad these people are. And it's totally out of context. And I'm not saying that is what happened with the various police officer-involved shootings.
You know, I was thinking today, if you remember back when we started the show, and up until maybe last year, there was a lot of attention on, you know, when the Greek bankruptcy and amnesty stuff was going on, there was riots in the streets, and there was a lot of police brutality videos that were being put together. And these videos were of, you know, violence that was being done by police officers unnecessarily to people. And when you look back on that, and it just wasn't here in the U.S., it was across the world from Germany and all these countries where the austerity measures were taking place. People were throwing Molotov cocktails at police. But I remember these videos were very popular. They were put out all over YouTube, used in different documentaries, which really started to build the environment of the anti-police. And, you know, I remember watching the videos and thinking, I can't believe how terrible these police officers are. And you know, they were showing them body slamming women for no reason, and just the most terrible
and you had
types
violations,
of
violations.
Right.
You know, I mean, violations.
And I think back
violations.
On that, and, you know, this was creating and cultivating the environment of what we see today. Also in TV shows. You know, we talk about the predictive programming in TV shows. If you watch certain shows, you will see the events that are happening today in shows 5 years ago, 7 years ago, with this hostility and violence toward police, and the clashes of protesters and police that we see today were shown in many different TV shows just in the last 10 years. I mean, it's when you go back and watch, if you're like me, we used to watch TV when we were on the road doing work after our surveillances were over, when we had some downtime, you know, and Seinfeld, one of your favorites, and, you know, shows like NYPD
Sorry,
Blue.
Guys.
And that was back when we were doing the investigative work. But, you know, going back and watching some of those things today, it's from a different perspective. I see it. And you can see the predictive programming in these shows.
Yes.
And it's kind of frightening in a way because, you know, these people knew where this was going to go.
And there it is. You're exactly right. They built the environment.
Right.
And they programmed the masses into believing a certain narrative. And a lot of it, in addition to predictive programming, it's almost a predefined conclusion. and hence we have the war on police. But I think the real sin here, and the real person with blood on their hands, is the man in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, who has really stoked the embers of racist divide, the hatred, and the hatred against police. I fault Obama. Did you see today where he released a letter, an open letter in support? Okay, so
to the police, he wrote a letter, right, saying we have your back to police officers across the country.
It's anyone say, yeah, I got your back, all right.
He says that with one side of his mouth and the other side of his mouth, you know, saying that they need to admit their failures, and there does need to be more accountability, in especially with people who hold positions of power.
But see,
not just police, but in government too.
But that's not where you're saying. I mean,
right?
At
exactly.
A funeral or in a,
but that's
addressing
part of
it.
Part of what has also fomented this tension and the atmosphere we have,
right
today, is, you know, letting certain things go without punishment. The things I was talking about just a few minutes ago, the overwhelming, you know, you can just see that it's police brutality without a shadow of a doubt. You know, letting things like those slide, and then turning around and taking actual, close calls where guns have been pulled on officers and they defend themselves, and putting those in the spotlight and saying those are the crazy brutality things. It's changed. What once used to be called brutality has changed now to where self-defense is now brutality. And I don't know how we got from there to here, but it's happened. And it's just like what you were saying in the first hour, trying to demonstrate how someone's own opinion can, you know, now be fact, and you know, someone else's, how they hear other people say, and that's all of a sudden hate speech because they're offended by it and disagree with it. What does that say about the people in this country that, you know, you get offended by something and there, you think there's a right that you shouldn't have to be offended. Like we see the intolerant atmosphere in colleges where people go to speak at colleges and, you know, they're, protested off the campus and not allowed to speak, basically being shut up by protesters. And we have this intolerant atmosphere in a country that used to be, able to respectfully disagree. Now we have intolerant, you know, if you don't agree with me, you're a hateful, bigoted criminal.
You hurt my feelings, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to file a complaint against you. Now, we understand the difference, and we understand, of course, there are videos out there, I should say, about the, as you mentioned, about police that are acting inappropriately.
And the reason that I mention that is because I remember watching those videos in 2012, 2013, and thinking how out of line, you know, those instances were, and thinking that, you know, somebody needs to do something about this.
But not ambush police officers.
Exactly. I mean,
crying out loud.
But see, this is where the disconnect is, because, you know, you're being, the more that we play into the manipulation that is being conducted by the media and the social networks and the Zuckerbergs of the world, has all played into this. Like I said, it's like a bait and switch.
That's a very good point.
And they've, I mean, it's just absolutely, and they ignore statistics, they ignore the truth. It's all about sensibilities and feelings and being offended anymore. And, not based on facts and not based on even reality at this point. And how we got from there to here again is, it doesn't make sense. But here we are.
And here we are. Folks, I'm going to do something. Joe's like, oh, don't do this. Oh, don't do it. During the break, he's like, oh, you can't. No, we shouldn't do it. Remember a couple of weeks ago, a while back, we asked you to email us information. We got a call here at the studio. And it was from a person claiming they were from the United States Treasury. And, of course, they were going to take legal action against us. And they provided a callback number. Well, I called that number back. And long story short, they changed phone numbers. So I said, anyone have a phone number out there? Send it to me, and we'll expose them. Essentially, these are scammers who have taken upwards of, I think, 15 to 20 million over the last year from the elderly, the people who don't know any better, that these aren't treasury agents. These are scammers. So what I've done, and what Eric said, don't ask me for another favor. All right. He brought me the phone. Here's the phone. Now, through the high tech, this is all high tech now. I'm going to call and Joe say, oh, God, don't do this. Don't let him do it. Anyway, Joe and I will call, but I'll call the phone number of the individual. Mike and a few others have given us, a few other listeners have given us information. Yeah, Michael, thank you so much. The new phone number for these scammers. So we're going to call them on air. What do you think about that, folks? We're going to make some radio history. Don't worry, Todd. I got the phone. Todd from Global Star's going, you're going to turn on the phones. No, we're going to do it low tech. I'm going to just put it on speaker. And let's see what happens, because let's ask for the individuals here. Now, again, just to give you the background, this from Mike K. Writes this. Well, I got a call. I got a call a couple of days ago. Said that this number, they were from the United States Treasury Department. It was a female voice that said money was owed, legal action was being taken, and even mentioned a grant jury.
And here in Pennsylvania, we had, especially in our town, what was it, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we had the phony court set up.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Fake judges in a,
well, it wasn't phony.
It was tens of $1,000, $100,000 type of fraud.
Yeah,
that was being perpetrated in actual courtrooms in this county.
It was just a very unique way of doing things. All right, so
and they got caught.
Yeah, and I happen to know the magistrate that was alleged to be involved in that. And anyway, so what do you think, folks? Why don't we give these people call. Hopefully their number is still in service. Let's see what happens. All right, so here's the deal. There's a caller. People all the time have caller IDs now. So there's a caller ID that shows up, and then the message leaves a callback number. And I've got two emails, different parts of the country, and I just selected two of several. So hopefully this will work out. So with the same callback number. So let's see. Let's take a listen here when we put this on speakerphone. And can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can get somebody on here. The number, the callback number is 408-819-9455.
Did you check that number before you're doing this on air?
Oh, no. So we're going to see what happens here. Oh, shoot. All right.
At least it wasn't somebody's, you know, grandma.
Well, we're gonna give one more try. We're gonna call the number that appeared on the caller ID now. Speaking in the royal sense, a royal we, right? The indictment will say me, right? 301-298-8083. Let's see if these are.
We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Man, I'm not having any luck. We're gonna see if these are from the U.S. Treasury Department. Let me see if I've got a different number here. Go ahead, you could talk amongst yourselves. No, here it is, right here. By the way, this was in June 26th, WorldNet Daily came out with an article about this. WorldNet Daily again saying it might be an old scam, but apparently it's a very live and effective one. And at least three WorldNet Daily staff members have been targeted in recent weeks. And people are told to call about their case files. An estimated 6,400 citizens have reported being cheated out of 36.5 million. My numbers were way lower. I apologize. Last month, the Treasury Department arrested five people in Miami accused of posing as IRS agents in the scheme that defrauded 1,500 people, netting the thieves an estimated $2 million. So I'm really kind of hoping here that, let me go to one more email here and we're going to try this one more time. And it's unfortunate because they do change their phone numbers, Joe, as you mentioned.
very frequently.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let me see if I can get one more here. Let's see. So go to the scammer. What do you give? Oh, I can't call them. That's actually the person giving me the phone number. All right. Let me just want to make sure I got this right. What did I say? 301-298-8083. And 408-8. We're going to try this number one more time. And then if it doesn't work, well, all right, so be it. At least we tried. But anyone has the number that got one of these phone calls, send it on over. We'll call them on the air and we'll talk to an IRS agent. I guess the United States Treasury, I guess what they do is, I guess they have to switch numbers all the time. U.S. Treasury Department, doggone it.
I see. Today's a full moon.
Is that, that's what's going on. Does that explain my behavior?
Explains a lot. Yeah, it does.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, I have to check. I have to check.
All right. But, no, look, I'm not asking for trouble. I'm just, I just want to, I want to protect our listeners. I think our listeners need to be protected because, anyway, all right.
The immigration issues that are happening in the country. We talked about the Supreme Court ruling. Well, Obama pesters Supreme Courts for amnesty permission. Administration wants judges to rehear a case that has already been decided. This from WorldNet Daily. The president first said he didn't have the authority to change America's immigration laws to allow amnesty for millions of illegal aliens already in the country. Then he had the administration officials reinterpret existing laws to allow amnesty. When he was sued by 26 states, led by Texas, he claimed he still could go ahead with his plan, but lost in court. He then lost the appellate court level and at the Supreme Court level, but that did not stop Obama. The White House is now insisting that the Supreme Court revisit the case the justices had already decided.
Is that even...
Because it didn't turn out the way that administration officials wanted.
Is there precedent for that? Is there a historical precedent for that? I don't think there is, but what do I know?
Pete Williams at NBC has confirmed the Obama administration has submitted a request for justices to consider the case again. The request was a long shot because it moves... because such moves are usually rejected. It was just a month ago. Justices voted a 4-4 tie that left the standing lower court appellate decision that found Obama did not have the authority to mandate the changes in the federal law he wanted. The lower court affirmed a district judge ruling that the Constitution doesn't give the president permission or authority in this case. In fact, Republican John Boehner, when he was Speaker of the House, listed online 22 times when Obama made statements that he is not allowed to do what he did. And they go through a long laundry list of things that he said he couldn't do. I am president. I am not king. I can't do these things by myself. I have to have partners to do it. Congress has to put laws on the books. But here we see the administration in 2014 announced an immigration law change that would shield more than 4 million people from deportation. And today, some numbers were released from ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
My word.
Over 945,000 deportations, ordered deportations, have not happened, and are not going to happen, apparently, according to what they're saying here. There has been statistics that have come out. The ICE deportations at a 10-year low, criminal illegal expulsions cut by 60%. And it goes on to say, despite a series of crimes committed by illegal immigrants and public polls showing anger at immigrants crossing the border, deportations have dropped to a 10-year low under President Obama. The eviction of those convicted of crimes has plummeted to 60% according to new immigration statistics. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement statistics reported to Congress that show 230,000 illegal immigrants will be deported this year. That's slightly more than half of the 400,000 that were deported in 2012. The country has been flooded with juvenile illegals, a situation continuing today. And if you look at the numbers, deportations during the Obama administration reached a high around 2012, 2013, and they are at an all-time 10-year low in 2016. And it's a very low. It's less than 250,000. And at a time when we are seeing the most amount of illegal immigrants coming here, not only from Mexico, but from Cuba and Syria and the Middle East, and those in Syria, we know and have gone over those statistics where you have 800, you know, Muslims, two Christians,
exactly.
1,500 Muslims, one Christian.
It's ridiculous. The deportations are down. The invasion is up. The word from the White House is hands off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got an inordinate number of other than Mexicans coming through. You've got people that have infiltrated all levels of our government. And I mean, it's criminal what's taking place.
Yes, it is.
You know, so you had talked, we had talked earlier about the police. One agency that to me is not a police force, is not a commissioned law enforcement force. It has nothing to do with law enforcement is the TSA. I don't consider the TSA as law enforcement. I consider the TSA as a rogue agency that has really, you know, people say, well, you should respect law enforcement. Well, they're not law enforcement. The TSA. I don't know how.
Technically, they're under the branch of the Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
But they are not law enforcement in the sense they don't go through law enforcement training. They go through some type of security guard, mall cop,
there
training.
You go.
And
Paul Blart, mall cop stuff. Okay.
And this is not to disparage good-hearted TSA agents out there.
No. You know what? Allow me to disparage. Because here's the thing. The TSA, if you work for the TSA, you are working for an agency, I believe, that is committing, in my personal view, and I think the Constitution would agree with me, anti-constitutional, you'd be engaging in anti-constitutional conduct, conduct that you know is against our Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution of the United States.
Right. But how many people are just trying to make a living?
Well, it doesn't matter. How many, is that the excuse that one
I'm
would
not
use
excusing
it?
I'm
Nazi
saying,
Germany?
Well, yeah, that is the excuse that people
I mean,
would
isn't
use.
That? But listen to this now. This to me speaks volumes about the TSA, because the employees there are increasingly being cited for misconduct. Now, nearly half of the entire TSA, for those in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, that's the Transportation Security Administration. Rush Limbaugh might have his Rio Linda or whatever. I've got my Hattiesburg. The TSA workforce, nearly half of the entire TSA, a total of 26,878 employees, were allegedly involved in misconduct between 2013 and 2015, putting the security of the flying public at risk. Go ahead and grope me, go ahead, grope me or nuke me. What a great idea this TSA is. There's a new report out. Misconduct at the TSA threatens the security of the flying public. It addresses concerns that the TSA, which has roughly 60,000 employees working at about 450 airports, they're not taking proper measures to effectively handle cases of misconduct among its employees. It's a 29-page document. It's the result of a 6-month joint investigation conducted by the Subcommittee on Oversight and Management Efficiency and the Subcommittee on Transportation Security. Examples. Oh, let's just shall we? Let's just peruse some of the examples here of misconduct. What do you think? You think it's, I don't know, telling off-color jokes or, you know.
Well, you have a
putting
lot.
Putting a whoopee cushion on someone's chair.
Old people being thrown out of wheelchairs. You have the...
That sounds pretty bad. How about this?
Sexual assault that happened.
Well, how about solicitation of prostitutes? Accepting bribes?
Stealing money?
Oh yeah. Wait, how about human smuggling? And trafficking of narcotics? Mm-hmm. The GAO conducted an investigation in 2013 that revealed a 27% increase in TSA employee misconduct from 2010 to 2012. So they implemented some GAO recommendations to curb TSA misconduct. But it still grew by 29%. What a great organization. Now, see, this report comes at a really important time for the TSA, which has been plagued by allegations and instances of employee misconduct at the highest levels of the agency, down to the frontline workforce. This, according to the chairman of the Transportation Security Subcommittee. The investigation also found that while the number of employee misconduct complaints have increased over time, the number of investigations opened and closed by the TSA have decreased by 15% and 28%. So, we're not doing anything wrong, and to prove it, we just won't investigate. You see, in 2013, 780 investigations were opened from 13,722 misconduct allegations. So, how would you like that for a job, huh? We've got 13,722 misconduct allegations, so we're going to open investigations. How many did you open? Oh, 780. It's about 6% of the total allegations filed. In 2015, they had a whopping 663 investigations out of 17,627 allegations. Which, hey, they're up from 4%, right? So you know, misconduct allegations can be made by TSA staff, employees, officials, and other federal agency personnel, and even passengers. But they're investigated by DHS, the Office of the Inspector General, or the TSA's Office of the Inspector General, depending on the case. The numbers are staggering, folks. And the refusal to investigate, lawlessness. In 2015 alone, the average number of misconduct allegations filed at each airport, 58. Joe, 58. That's the average. So the highest, what do you think? The highest is number of allegations of misconduct by the TSA. The highest would be about 1,400, roughly. Okay, so wow. Per airport. So the bottom line is this.
Per airport.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's actually an average of 58 per airport where the TSA is at. Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, the chairman of the Oversight and Management Subcommittee, said we're in the highest threat environment since 9/11, and terrorists are intent on attacking civilian aviation, as we've seen in Brussels and Istanbul. But the TSA needs a significant and lasting reform to address this employee misconduct crisis. No, we don't. We need them the hell out of our airports, and we need to have real security by the airlines that don't invade or that don't violate our rights as citizens. And don't involve these hacks at the airlines. You think I'm going to ever be able to fly again? Probably not. Will I ever fly again? No. I'd like to see the airlines bankrupted because I think that they deserve to be because they're hiring these brown shirts. You had mentioned, Joe, you talked about this. In fact, you probably don't even remember this, but looking at your notes, on December 23rd, 2014, a Delta baggage handler at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta Airport was arrested for gun smuggling. And then just weeks later, the FAA safety inspector reportedly bypassed security and flew from Atlanta to New York with his gun in his carry-on baggage. So, it's security is an illusion. But what are we going to do about it? I guess that's the thing that we need to be asking ourselves. What are we going to do about this? The TSA. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow them to molest us and to keep us in this state of lawlessness, or, you know, in this state of, well, it's the illusion of security when there is none, and then you've got the TSA violating our rights. What do we need to do? Well, how can we fix this? Let me ask you, Joe, what would you do? How can we fix this?
Well, as you said, one, we'd have to definitely get rid of the TSA. We can look to other nations who don't have or have not had issues with security due to other methods of making sure that, you know, metal detectors, I think, are fine.
I don't have a problem with that.
Are fine.
I don't have a problem with baggage scanners or metal detectors.
Profiling.
I don't have a problem with profiling.
Especially when it comes to, you know, terrorism, and when we see the influx of illegal immigrants here in this country. You know, there are definite profiles, but at the same time, we have to understand that a lot of the false flags and the attempted violence that has been stopped, or the terror plots that have been thwarted, the TSA has not been a part of those, first of all.
They've been out to lunch.
A lot of them are handled internally by the FBI, setting people up in some cases to be the patsy, you know, giving them the tools to, or the fake tools to think they're going to carry out some kind of attack. But we have to remember that the satanic elite are behind these major terror attacks like 9/11. When we look at the shoe bomber, the attempted shoe bombing of the plane that led to the TSA and the body scanner rollout. The head of the Homeland Security at the time was also one of the main owners of the...
Could it be Michael Chertoff?
Yeah, Michael Chertoff. The Rapiscan stuff that, I mean, he was one of the...
Swallow the money is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. And there are much better ways to handle security at airports than making people strip down, you know, either through going through machines, when it's even proven that these body scanning machines miss 95% of weapons that are put through the that go through the TSA. I mean, it is just a case of you know, bureaucracy, and what Obama said, you know, the civil police force that he wanted, or separate police force that he wanted, federalized police force. This is what we are seeing, and the TSA isn't going anywhere. If anything, it's going to expand, and as it has been, into, you know, the Viper teams on in bus stations and
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. Viper teams. When was the last time anyone's talked about those?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, there's been so much going on. You know, you don't hear about these things, but the TSA has been expanding, and other security measures, license plate readers. I don't know how many people saw this recently, but it's been reported that the FBI has quietly collected almost 500,000 iris scans of U.S. citizens without their knowledge.
Yeah, I've got a real problem, and I hope everyone does as well, with iris scans, with DNA testing. Now, I know DNA testing has its place, but it, when you...
There's an article from Activist Post.
Let me rephrase that. DNA submission has its place, however, not here. Go ahead.
ActivistPost.com from a few days ago put out an article that I had read and saved. U.S. defense contractors to blanket Earth with new surveillance technology. And this article goes into how Google Earth, Google Maps, and Street View and their systems have essentially recovered the right to your privacy and transferred to any corporations they deem necessary. and how these defense contractors from Lockheed Martin to Digital Globe and other companies are making just billions of dollars through their government connections and these corporations that are using apps on phones, that are using search engine results that people, you know, say you open up a search engine and are looking for something. All this is logged, and you're from your iPhone to your computer to your emails, everything is tracked, monitored. The NSA has all the phone calls in their servers that has computers scanning. And what they have now is new technology, well, new to our ears, newer technology that has computer algorithms that break codes in prisons, to where prisoners use code words for different things like third-party three-way calls in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
They would have special terms, things that human monitors couldn't figure out themselves. These new computer algorithms that scan through these calls, and it's not just in prisons that the calls are scanning through. They check for cadence. They check for
every
keywords.
Call.
And they can basically decipher what is going on where humans cannot in conversations. If people are using code words, if they're using different means to communicate, then
right.
What can be heard if you just listen at a base level. These computers are picking up, and this is, I mean, we are, it's surveillance from birth to the grave. And we allow it by carrying around their technology, by using their technology. And
do
we have a choice? Yes, we do.
Carry a cell phone.
We have a choice, but at the same time, you know, saying no would limit us to, you know, being unplugged from the rest of the world, which is a good thing. At the same time, this is, you know, this goes back to the Bible, and this goes back to what it says in the book of Revelation about the end times, and no man might buy or sell unless he has the name of the beast, worships the beast, or has the number of the beast. And we are being groomed and programmed to the point where I don't think many people will be able to tell the difference, especially the way we see the country's attitude as far as Christianity is concerned. Even the mainstream Christian churches are not Christian anymore. So who's going to recognize it when it is for real, when it is your soul on the line in with the decisions you make? And it is to a certain degree already today, the decisions you make, your soul's on the line, and there are consequences for every action. But there comes a point of no return.
There will come a time when you will have to decide whether you want that food or you're going to take the mark of the beast. You want to live, or you're going to take the mark of the beast. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know, in perspective and context, the coup in Turkey that has strengthened Erdogan, that has really widened the caliphate or entrenched the caliphate where Erdogan wants to be the head, you know, caliphate guy. That to me,
Steve has it up on his site.
Yes,
about
and
this,
he was talking about that with me on the phone this morning, and we had a good conversation. I got to tell you,
the Sultan of Islamic State, Erdogan wants to be the Sultan of Islamic State. Former model turned fighter tells RT, and
yep.
There's other articles that Steve has there, but what this article basically says is a former Canadian model,
don't even
gave
try
up it. A glamorous life of photo shoots. to fight the Islamic State in Syria. She told RT that the biggest problem is Turkey supporting the terrorists. Turkey supports ISIS.
And
we know
support
how it's
Turkey.
Fashioned. And it doesn't seem to get a lot of press coverage in the West. And it's all a sham because it's better to deal with the problem now than wait until it gets big and almost out of control in the future.
Which I think is we're already there, but
she goes on to say, right now the biggest problem isn't so much as ISIS, it's Turkey supporting ISIS. Erdogan wants to create an Islamic State, and he wants to be the Sultan, she says.
Right. And that's what that and that's what Steve Quayle and hopefully Dave Hodges are going to be expanding on Monday.
Yeah.
And he called this right. Steve called this right 2 years ago, correctly. 2 years ago. And people back then said, oh, you're just overstating this. But no. This is pretty much following the exact path that the Bible lays out, right?
People are making,
You know the Bible.
Gog and Magog coming up now with this Russia-Turkey alliance. And I would tell people to take a step back and to study that. And I'm not saying that it is or it isn't, but from what I understand, it could be, everything we're seeing in the Middle East is laying the groundwork for the end times new world order, one world system of government, religion, and economics.
And it's coming at a breakneck speed, faster than I thought.
It is, now that it's been started
3 years ago.
And this, Steve also has this on his site. And this is something I mentioned to you earlier, right before the show. Mystery of 14 Turkish naval ships still missing after failed coup.
I heard about that. You told me about that. And I try to find additional information on that. Now,
the Daily Mail has an article.
Right. Aside from that, I mean, I'm looking through military intelligence because we're on like 15 mailing lists from military intelligence to military to domestic and foreign intelligence and so on. So, but I could find nothing on that.
Yeah. This article goes on to say more than a dozen Turkish ships are still reported missing at sea and remain unaccounted for following the botched coup. The commander of the Turkish naval admiral, Vesel Koçeli, also remains missing, having been out of contact since Friday evening. It's unclear whether he was part of the coup attempt or is being held against his will, after local media reports said he was tricked into boarding one of the missing ships after being told there was a terrorist attack. According to the Times, the 14 missing ships were on active duty in either the Aegean or Black Sea on Friday. They have failed to return to their ports, even though they're likely to be traceable through radar or satellite. All this has prompted speculation that the ships may be on their way to Greek ports, where the sailors will attempt to seek asylum. The Turkish government has refused to comment on the issue, but told the newspaper that there are sleeper cells that might try to hijack helicopters or engage in other violent acts against peaceful demonstrators and government buildings. Meanwhile, 8 other military personnel who flew helicopters to Greece amid the coup have tried to claim asylum in the country. And
what
takeaway from this?
They're not. So are they missing or are they?
It's not being missing. Well, even though they're saying they can be found by radar and satellite images, us regular civilians don't have access to real-time satellite
images. So they're not really missing. They're just right now not coming home.
I guess. But 14 in total naval ships have failed to return to their ports in Turkey.
Meanwhile, the real news is that that demon woman of the slain Sean Smith, Patricia Smith, really, that's the real news, how this woman should be slapped around or whatever that idiot said, right? Nathaniel, what was that person's name?
Yeah.
Bethlehem Scholes, whose real name is Nathaniel Friedman, tweeted a death wish after the woman criticized Hillary
Clinton.
I would
like to beat her to death, he said.
Yeah, see, that's the real news. Not those ships and not the, not what's going on over there.
And more importantly,
look over here.
What capabilities and weapons systems are on these ships, I guess, would be the next question to ask, knowing that they are
a lot of sailors shoveling coal, in the submarines, right?
Yeah. Hopefully they turn up sooner than later.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sometimes this is so, honestly, when you really start looking into this, and I watch Joe's head. I had to actually get the duct tape. Eric Rand got duct tape, and he got the orange kind, and I got the silver kind, and we were wrapping Joe's head because it was going to explode from all of this news. And sometimes you have to be a little bit more, I don't know. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of a breath and say, let's have a little fun. Let's have a little bit of, let's smell the roses, smell the flowers. And, I mean, you know, it's Joe, it's really, none of the news is good.
No.
None of the news is good.
Except Stan Deo is back.
Now, he'll class up the joint, right?
Yep. Yes, all right. He will. Talked to him earlier. He was energized, ready to go.
No sense of me sticking around. We'll just have Stan come in and, hey, we'll do it, right?
Looking forward to it.
Hey, did you guys get your tickets registration for Indianapolis for the Paul Begley show? Come on now.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.